I chose to write about a choir director who's Lutheran and who's a big city girl but has moved to a small town.
Katie Schuerman talking about her new novel, The Choir Immortal.
I really wanted to address suffering in the present tense, this theology of the cross.
You can find out more about The Choir Immortal at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Choir Immortal by Katie Schuerman.
Mary did not ride an elephant into Bethlehem that night. So you go home and you go to your church and you tell people, I'm a Democrat, I'm a God-fearing Democrat.
Feminists have to begrudgingly admit that women are better suited to babies and nurturing, but insists upon telling women to let go of their desire to care for their babies.
If you're going to say that the Lord's Supper is only a memorial meal, you'd have to say the same thing about the Passover. But it wasn't. It actually was God at work bringing his people out of bondage.
Nebraska Oregon students love issues, etc.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, just I think early October, when we had a lot of end times prognosticators, included among them Jim Baker and John Shorey, telling us that the world was coming to an end or getting pretty close to coming to an end. And they were making sure that we were all stocked up on our survival provisions. Of course, they were going to provide those at a rather handsome profit for themselves. I don't know how many people went in for it, but the predictions didn't come true. And now there's a little backtracking taking place. It's just one of the things we'll be talking about here in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. for This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We'll also be talking about some more of that dream destiny doctrine that we discussed with Chris a little while back. Other teachers are teaching. It's pervasive in Pop American Christianity. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough, we're going to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's four soundbites that we have selected from this week's Issues, Etc. audio. We're going to play them for you. All you have to do is listen, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's your opportunity also to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad for the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Chris, have you demanded a refund on your Jim Baker end of the world generator?
I thankfully can say that I didn't purchase any prepper eschatological apocalyptic survival supplies from Jim Baker. And what's really funny, you know, kind of on a little side note here, is that, you know, while all of this is kind of going down, their predictions didn't take place. There's a chef in Brooklyn. He's a professional chef, and he did a YouTube video where he actually cracked open a bucket of Jim Baker's apocalyptic food that, you know this, that he's selling for, like you said, a handsome profit, and then cooked it up and then tasted it. And said it was absolutely awful. And one of the recipes, he literally retched and said, that is so awful, I had to get it out of my mouth. So, you know, I it's really kind of a, when it comes to end times prepper supplies, buyer beware is the best thing I can say.
So before we hear the backtracking from Jim Baker and John Shorey, what were the claims that these individuals were making recently?
Well, as we were getting into the fall season, into September and October, they were making, you know, a lot of hay about the so-called four blood moons and the Shemitah, and they were claiming that, you know, that there was significant eschatological events, trials and tribulations, earthquakes and things that were going to be taking place, because according to them, the four blood moons and the Shemitah were all indicative of the imminent, like this month, return of Jesus, and there's supposedly being, you know, the rapture and things like that. And it Jesus did not show up in September or October. The four blood moons and the Shemitah both passed without anything happening at all. It was a complete non-event eschatologically. And the Jim Baker Show has been engaging in full-blown spin damage control in order to shore up its flagging finances, because there's a lot of people who are pointing out, hey, you guys said something was going to happen and nothing happened. What gives? And, why'd you sell me this stuff saying that Jesus and the tribulation and all this kind of stuff were right upon us? Well, this past week they've come up with kind of a new story and they're sticking to it. And I'll let Jim Baker and the prophet John Shorey explain.
John, what do you see it's happening? What is God doing right now?
I wrote you a letter a week or so ago.
Yes.
And in that letter, I said, I believe that God has held off the big event that would, like, trigger multiple events.
Yes.
For two reasons. I says, number one, and I'll tell you, this was confirmed to me from some of the prophets and words of, you know what I mean, words from the prophets.
Yes.
But that two things, there were two reasons that we could see from this delay. And the one big reason is that a lot of God's people are not ready. And God is, in his grace, is giving us more time.
Yes.
You see, I actually looked at from September because, you know, the Bible says to watch for these signs. I do not want you to be caught unaware. I will not do anything unless I warn you through the prophets. Well, God's prophets have been speaking. The signs have been speaking. And just because nothing happened, are you telling me that God just canceled his return?
Right.
You know, I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. And I had looked at September as a...
He's not a feeble God, by the way. And you don't make fun of his signs and wonders.
Exactly. And I had looked at 6 months. You know, I'm mid-trib, and my timeline, you know, my timeline didn't come and go on September 13th. My timeline is that the Great Tribulation will start in March of 2016, and there's more than enough time for everything to fall together between now and March.
Okay, so it wasn't September, October. It wasn't the four blood moons and the Shemitah, which was supposed to be the definitive end times sign. God has decided to just postpone things. He's, in essence, he's giving us further time to prepare. The odd thing I got to ask there, Chris, is it's not like God couldn't look ahead and see that we wouldn't be ready.
Right. You know, and apparently, you know, God had to resort to Plan B because he didn't see this coming. Not enough evangelicals were watching Jim Baker's television program and buying their solar-powered fuelless generators and their buckets of food and things like that. So God had to, you know, he was all ready for September 13th. But, yeah, unfortunately, the eschaton had to be postponed because the church wasn't quite ready. So, I mean, what a convenient story. I mean, these guys are resourceful. As resourceful as they are duplicitous. I mean, this is the fact that anybody would be taking these people seriously is just beyond me at this point.
So they're still selling the prepper stuff, the end times tribulation prepper stuff now, and good news, if you didn't buy before, now's your second chance.
Yeah, no, I mean, everything's supposed to heat up, you know, between now and March of 2016. So, I mean, if you didn't get in on it, well, you've got a few more months to get in on it so you can survive the upcoming scheduled Great Tribulation, which begins in March of 2016, as confirmed apparently by the prophets. The prophets are all talking about it, and they're all confirming this, and, you know, and... you can't make this stuff up. And the fact that people that call themselves Christians are giving these men a pass, is, you know, just kind of beyond me. It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, clearly these men are, you know, fear-mongering for fun and profit, and when their predictions didn't come true, everyone should have just walked away in droves and let them go bankrupt. But, you know, they still have enough of an audience that they're trying to shore up their flagging trust in them at the moment.
Who were these prophets that John Shorey was referring to?
I've never heard of them. We're not talking about Malachi or Isaiah or Jeremiah. One of them is named Lena. I'm not familiar with the prophetess Lena, but all of these prophets, they have confirmed that, you know, yeah, the big thing's coming, and it's March now, March of next year.
I noticed the kind of trademark ambiguity about big things, no specific predictions, which is really odd. If you read the Old Testament prophets or if you read Jesus prophesying the end times, he is really specific about things.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, in the Old Testament, we knew the city where Jesus was going to be born. We knew that he was going to be born of a virgin. We knew that he was going to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. We knew that he was, a description of his crucifixion is found in Psalm 22 before crucifixion was ever invented as a torture technique. We knew how he was going to die, at least, you know, the suffering that he would go through. And the prophecies just go on, and they're extremely specific. These guys are just something. It's big is coming. We're not sure what, but it's, hang on, the prophets are all talking that this something is coming. So you better buy some food from Jim Baker.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. When we come back, we've got more of This Week in Pop American Christianity ahead. We'll switch gears a little bit and return to a subject that Chris introduced us to several weeks ago, the dream destiny doctrine. There are more teachers teaching it, and we'll hear from one of them right after this. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the history of the United States, we as a country have enjoyed our catchphrases from give me liberty or give me death to today's classic, it is what it is. TV commercials have added such classics as where's the beef to eat fresh. Here at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, we do not resort to catchphrases. Here we are about growing God's family by preaching God's word, by administering the sacraments, and building up God's people. So the next time you find yourself in central Oklahoma on a Sunday morning, come join the friendly folks at St. Mark in Edmond. You'll be glad you did. This is most certainly true.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
The government is already spending $500 million a year to provide contraceptives through Planned Parenthood clinics. Why does the government need the little sisters to do Planned Parenthood's work for them?
It's taking this text of the Bible and bouncing it off your own personal experience and coming up with a mixture, and that's what you set forth. And therefore, it gets it wrong just about all the time.
The legs of a bird are attached completely differently than that of any other creature, certainly including dinosaurs.
Long before we arrive in 2015, the church has been told it was on the wrong side of history. And by the way, that may even be true. We may be on the wrong side of history, but we're not on the wrong side of eschatology.
Just a little taste of the Issues Etc. soundbites we have ready to lay before you in about 15 minutes here on Issues Etc. when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play it for you, and then your vote will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Now, before we get to the dream, destiny, doctrine thingy, as you call it, one more question about Jim Baker and John Shorey, their prediction and their selling of all this kind of prepper material for Christians. If they believe they're going to be raptured, why are they selling all this stuff to people who believe they're going to be raptured out of the world?
The reason why is because they are holding to what's called the mid-trib view of the premillennialism. And so they believe that Christians are going to have to go through the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, which is 7 years long, and a literal 7 years in their eschatology, and then and as a result of it, you've got to survive at least 3.5 years as a persecuted Christian. The mark of the beast is going to come out. You won't be able to buy and sell. And so if you want to survive, you're going to have to already have your food ahead of time if you're going to make it to the midpoint of the tribulation, where Jesus is secretly going to come back and then rapture them up.
Okay, that brings us to the next subject for This Week in Pop American Christianity. One you introduced us to a couple weeks ago. You call it the Dream Destiny Doctrine thingy, if I'm not mistaken. What is it again?
Yeah, it's the Dream Destiny thingy doctrine. And the idea is that apparently God has some specific dream destiny that everybody is supposed to fulfill in this lifetime. And the job of the devil is to keep you from achieving this dream destiny thingy. And God's supposed to reveal this dream directly to you. And then what's fascinating is that they then impose this doctrine on the rest of Scripture, and it impacts how they actually read the biblical text. And so we're going to be listening to Bill Cornelius from a church called Church Unlimited, which is in Corpus Christi, Texas. And he's actually quite high up in the seeker-driven network of vision-casting leaders. And we're going to listen to how he's going to interpret the story of Joseph from the Old Testament.
So we're continuing in our series called Stop Talking and Start Doing, because God's put a dream in everyone. And God gave Joseph a dream, just like he's given you a dream, and he wants to help you fulfill that dream. And maybe you're new here, or maybe you haven't been here in a while. Let me catch up on the story just real quick if I can. So Joseph, as a young teenager, actually, has a dream, and he dreams that one day he will be a leader, and his brothers will bow to him. He shares this with his brothers. Obviously, that's not going to go over well. His brothers already hated him because he was a favored kid. They concocted a plan to beat him up, steal his jacket, rip it up, tell dad that he died, that an animal ate him, right? And then they sold him into slavery. So he ends up in going to Egypt. Now he's a slave in Potiphar's home. He learns of his skills he didn't even know he had. Sometimes hard times teaches us things about ourselves we didn't know. And so he begins to develop those skills there. He then gets falsely accused of rape, and he's thrown into prison. And then in prison, he stays faithful to God, even though he did not do anything wrong. He still stays faithful to God even when things don't go well in his life. And then he is forgotten about for a while. Then he gets called up to the big leagues when the king has a dream, does not know how to interpret it, and he hears that there's a guy in his prison who knows how to interpret dreams. Now, he interprets the king's dream. I'm doing a massive summary here. He interprets the king's dream and says, what it means, king, is that 7 years, you're going to have plenty. You're going to have a prosperous 7-year economy. Then at the seventh, at the eighth year, it's going to go way, way down. You're going to have famine for the next 7. So I recommend you put a savings plan in place, tighten the belt, so that when the 7 years of famine hit, you will be succeeding where everyone else is falling apart. You guys will be able to survive as a nation. And so that's what he puts his plan. So now let's pick up back in the story if we can from there, because this is where Joseph now steps into the role that God birthed him for. And remember this, the reason we did this entire series is so you begin to step into the role that God birthed you for, because God has given you something he wants you to do, something he wants you to become, to have, to go. God has something big for you too. So today we're talking about 4 simple principles of a successful plan.
What did he just do there, Chris?
Well, he's turned the story of Joseph in the Old Testament into basically the equivalent of Aesop's fables. And apparently the moral of the story is that just like Joseph had a dream destiny that God laid on his heart, you too have a dream destiny that you are going to need to fulfill. And so you're looking now at the story of Joseph as basically a parable. And it's really all about you. And this is just an absolutely narcissistic and cockeyed way of reading Scripture. Now, I would point your listeners back to the interview you did just recently with Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Publishing House, where he talked about a Lutheran approach to biblical interpretation. And what he talked about was kind of there's a mystical meaning in the text. And there's another way you can describe that. This is what other scholars have called looking for types and shadows in the Old Testament. And since Jesus himself has made it clear that the Scriptures are about him, I would reference John 5, where he says, "You diligently search the Scriptures, and it is they that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you have life," or that you can look at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, at the tail end of it, when on the road to Emmaus, he opens up the Scripture and interprets them, all the things regarding himself. Yeah, the Scriptures are about Jesus. And then you look at how the New Testament authors, the apostles, over and again, they point to the Old Testament as type and shadow leading to the reality, and the reality has been revealed, and the reality is Christ himself. And so with that approach to Scripture, the one thing we can know for certain is that the story of Joseph in many ways is going to hook in and point to Jesus, not us. And so what the evangelicals have done is they've, in a very real way, X'd Jesus out of the Scriptures, especially the Old Testament, and they've literally written themselves into all of these Old Testament stories. And, I mean, it is just absolutely hitting an epidemic proportion as far as this narcissistic reading of Scripture.
So everything that in Scripture essentially becomes a parable about me.
Yes. That is absolutely true. Every story, the story of Abraham and how God went out and showed him all the stars and says, your descendants are going to be like this. Well, that's another example of the dream destiny thingy. And so just like Abraham, God gave him a dream destiny, he's going to give you one too. And so what's happened is that literally evangelicalism has morphed into this cult of self. And it's all about me. And Jesus is just the means to the end, the guy who gives you the dream destiny, who's coaching you, and he's right beside you, rooting you on so that you can go and achieve your dream destiny. And then what happens is that all of the setbacks, apparently, that Abraham experienced and then Joseph experienced, these are then to show you the pattern that you're to expect in your life. You know, Joseph, he gets his dream destiny, and he immediately ends up, in slavery. And then, David, he gets his dream destiny, and there's naysayers in his life. So you have to expect haters and naysayers and things that are going to, so if you truly have a dream destiny, you're going to experience these setbacks, and that's proof that you have some amazing thing that you need to accomplish that's going to change the world. It's going to be epic.
What's next? We've got more from Bill Cornelius?
Yes. This last one, then, is kind of an interesting twist on this. With all of this focus on me and fulfilling dream destiny, this now impacts how they view evangelism. And this is a very interesting thing that he says here, and I'll let him say it.
Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" Now, before I go any further, let me just tell you about that. Let's talk about that real quick. This is a non-God-fearing man, Pharaoh. Pharaoh not only didn't believe in God, he thought he was a god, okay? And so they probably worshipped the sun god in Egypt. They also worshipped a god that they thought cows were gods. I mean, you talk about a jacked-up religion. Don't get me wrong, here in America, we worship cows too. We just eat them. That's how we do it, right? But he says, "I can sense that the spirit of this God you're talking about is in your life." Do you have any idea how powerful a witness that is? He's like, "I can see God in you. I don't even believe in God, but I can see him in you and the way you live your life." in the way you're talking to me, in the way you're handling your business. And so this is very important because a lot of times we make it a goal like, I want to be a godly man, a godly woman. Great goal. But we think godly man and godly woman means you don't do certain things, which that's important, right? There's certain things that certainly we take off the list of options and we're no longer going to go to these kind of places and do these kind of things and, you know, whatever, right? So that's part of it. But part of being a witness is not just more God speak, not just more Christianese where you use a lot of phrases like praise the Lord and isn't God good today. That's great. Nothing wrong with those kind of phrases. But frankly, that actually can annoy people that aren't believers. Did you know that? I hate to break it to you, but too much God speak can actually frustrate people. But the best witness of all is when you're really, really good at something while you honor God. That is the best witness you can ever be. It's great that you're a salesperson, but why don't you be top salesperson? It's great that you're on the team. Why don't you be the best on the team? In other words, if you excel at what you do, it's an incredible witness. I'm not trying to say don't be verbal. Don't get me wrong. When I was talking earlier, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't be verbal about our faith. That's a good thing. We should not be ashamed about our faith, even to speak about it openly. But what I'm trying to say is, do you realize that if you are losing in life and talking about how great the Lord is, you're not really being a banner ambassador for Christ? Let's just be honest. When you begin to win in life and things are going well, that gives you a platform for people to listen to you. And then when you talk about the Lord, they take it more serious.
Huh. Huh. I wonder how he would evaluate those 11 men who Jesus chose, including St. Paul, almost all of which, except for one, really lost in life toward the end.
Right, and I don't seem to recall in the New Testament where Peter's witness of Christ was really enhanced by the fact that he was that he owned a successful fish and chips company that had franchises around the Mediterranean. I mean, this is an absolutely bizarre teaching on this point, and this shows, I think, definitively that at least Bill Cornelius and those who are buying into this dream destiny doctrine, they've completely lost sight of the gospel, because the gospel is not the good news that Jesus can make your life successful and that he has a dream destiny for you. The gospel is actually the proclamation that Christ has died for your sins and that he's risen again on the third day for your justification. And so the call of the gospel is repent and to be forgiven. The call of the dream destiny gospel is ask God to show you what he's made you for. He'll lay a dream destiny on your heart. And if you really want to be a witness, then you've got to be really successful in life. Losers probably should keep their trap shut about Jesus because they're not really they're not living the dream, and they're not a good example of somebody who's pulling it off. So you can see that the dream destiny doctrine, it has a gospel that goes with it. It's a different gospel, and it causes them to think completely differently as it pertains to evangelism and the message that we're to be preaching.
And this is a gospel quote unquote gospel that neither prepares nor can sustain a Christian through any kind of persecution.
No, it can't, because as soon as things start going bad in your life, you must assume that you've done something wrong and that you're off mission, because you're supposed to be going out and changing the world and things are supposed to be getting better and better. This is like the ultimate theology of glory. This is the theology of self-glory kind of run to its logical conclusion. And, you know, it's all about you changing the world and having a dream destiny. And Jesus needs to kind of be your co-pilot or whatever. But, I mean, there's no place for a crucified and risen Savior in this theology, let alone taking up your cross and following Christ. I mean, the idea of suffering for Jesus would be completely foreign in this theological system.
Chris, someone listens to this, and they're hearing that, and they're like, wow, you know, I didn't think things had gotten that bad in Pop American Christianity, but obviously they have. And this is just an example. This is pervasive, as you have said before. But they say, you know, that could never happen to my church. That would never happen where I go to church. What would you say to them?
I would say, you're naive if you think that it can't happen in your church. The devil is extremely busy working to seduce pastors away from proclaiming Christ and get them off topic and scratching itching ears and teaching anything other than Christ and him crucified. So if you don't think that this can happen in your church, you're naive. I've seen so many churches over the decades who, you know, who years ago were solid churches where you can hear the gospel, where you can't hear it anymore. And this is not, and these are not just churches out there in evangelicalism. These are Lutheran churches. And so we must always be diligent and vigilant and know that that the devil is going to come knocking on our church's door if he hasn't done so already. He's not about to let the gospel of Christ be preached unmolested.
Chris, before we let you go, what can you tell us about tonight's Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight we're going to be listening to some good lectures on historic heresies. We're going to be listening to a lecture on the heresy of Gnosticism and the heresy of modalism. And so I think it's important to see what heresies have cropped up through church history and how the church has addressed them and dealt with them. And this is what these lectures will do.
By the way, Chris, I am looking forward to your 2-hour stint with us on Issues Etc. 24 coming up next weekend.
Oh, I'm excited. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about the Gospel of John, chapter 9 and chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 10 itself, is one of the most abused verses in all of evangelicalism, where Jesus says, "I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly," and it cannot be understood. That verse cannot be understood apart from what is happening in chapter 9. So I'm really looking forward to being able to unpack both chapters together so that there's a resource available that people can go to and say, now I know what chapter 10, verse 10 is all about, because it plays into the whole story that begins with the man who was born blind.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. today at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's Friday afternoon, and that means it's time for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play the 4 sound bites for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you need to listen and get ready to give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week right after the break. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a 1-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality, You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.